We're going to talk about the art of storytelling now, and joining me is Anne Dignan, who along with five other women are going to be staging an event in Portobello on the 11th of March, which aims to do just that, talk about the art of storytelling. Now, thanks for joining me, Anne. I believe the night is called Tales of Gallus Women.
Yes, and we're the Gallus storytellers who have come together for one evening only from north and south of the border to tell tales of remarkable women who made such a difference. They've left an indelible mark on society and in history. And they're tales about ordinary women whose motivations have made them quite extraordinary. And also women whose life threads, as it were, are deeply and intricately woven into the fabric of history. And that last bit is actually a quote from when I'm opening the show, that last bit there. So that's what it's about. And some of the tales are fictitious and some are based on real fact. We're all telling very different tales.
Now, for any of our English listeners, I don't want to make an assumption, but not many, I would imagine, would know the word Gallus. It's quite a Scots word. What's a good word for it? Cheeky? Bold?
And just quite brave, really, and just taking a risk, a gamble, and just to kind of stand out from the crowd, really.
Tell us a wee bit about yourself, and you also worked as a primary school teacher, didn't you?
Yeah, I was a primary school teacher for many years, and then I developed macular degeneration. I struggled on for many years, and it was a dry kind of macular, so there was no intervention. Macular, you can get injections to kind of slow it down a bit, but mine is dry and it progresses at a slower rate, but there is no intervention. So I've always loved telling stories to the kids, and I used to read them from books and then embellish them. But I've discovered the art of storytelling through a friend who was a member of a group called the Borough Blatherers, not Blatherers, Blatherers. The group has people from all walks of life. We've got people that work in government. We've got older people who are retired. We've got all sorts of people are in this group. And it's a wonderful group. And they meet once a month. And what we do is we tell each other stories. Now, I thought, oh gosh, how am I going to do this? I can't access books like other people do. They just take a book off a shelf and maybe pre-see a story and get the bare bones out of it and then flesh it out according to their own individual case. Because most stories ever sound the same. If you tell it more than once, it'll never totally come out the same, but you'll still have the same bare bones. And so the Borough Blatherers, you know, I decided that I would go in for my professional accreditation. I was gallus, you see, bold and brave and daring. And I thought, yeah, I just so love this, how you connect with the audience. And in traditional storytelling, oral storytelling, many great storytellers were blind or visually impaired. And of course, oral storytelling stemmed from the time before education came in to be compulsory in the 1872 Education Act. And often it was travelling communities or people that couldn't read or write English that had maybe migrated from further afield onto our shores, and they would pass on their culture or their teaching and learning onto their children. And it also became a ceilidh source, because a ceilidh is all about, it's not just dancing, it's about storytelling and poetry, etc. And so the tradition has been in a revival phase for the past 20 odd years anyway, and thanks to the Scottish School of Studies, where they went round and recorded lots of travellers' tales, and some of the best traditional tales are from the travelling community. But there's no such thing as a new story. The same story might be told in other parts of the world, but maybe with slightly different bits in the middle, but the beginning and the end are always the same. You should always keep a traditional tale with the same beginning and the same end. What happened with the group was I decided to do the professional accreditation. So I was gallus. I applied to the Audacious Women Festival, and I gathered a group of storytellers who are pretty well known and pretty renowned storytellers. So we're recreating what we did at the Audacious Women Festival, which took place in the Scottish Storytelling Centre in the High Street in Edinburgh, but not under the auspices of the Audacious Women Festival. I'm just calling us the Gallus Storytellers. There's Elaine Robertson, the librarian. There is Beverly Casebow, who works at the National Library. There is myself, Anne Dignan, and there is Emily Barr, our also a young apprentice. I'm on the apprenticeship scheme. I decided I would just be gallus and go for the professional accreditation, so get on the Scottish Directory, which you can still tell stories without being on the directory, but it's lovely to have the professional accreditation and everything that goes with it. So we are the Gallus Storytellers, and we're coming together to tell tales of Gallus women. And my story is all about the second wave of the Highland Clearances, and it's about a woman who left an indelible mark. And she also was a great influencer to affect change in legislation for the crofters to give them more security of land tenure. And from the legislation which was duly passed, the crofters had a better way of life.
So for anyone that's thinking about coming along, I would just like to find out some more information about this night in Portobello. How can they do that?
Well, it's in Belfield, which is a local community hub, which is where lots of different arts and community projects take place. And you can either pay on the door on the night. The concessions are £8 and the full price is £10. Or you can book on Eventbrite. And it's, if you look up Tales of Gallus Women on Eventbrite on the 11th of March, and it's at Belfield Community Hub in Portobello. So that's the easiest way of booking, and we are hoping for a great turnout, and there'll also be home baking by local wonderful volunteers who support the local community time bank initiative. So they're going to come and do our teas and coffees and offer their services for free, which is absolutely amazing. It'll be a real community experience, and I'm looking forward to it very, very much, and I'm proud to have planned and executed the whole project. And if it's anything like when we told at the Audacious Women Festival, it will go down a storm. We hope to see you there. If you can manage, it would be just grand.
I wish you all the success in the world when this comes along on the 11th of March, and hopefully it's the first of many. Anne, thanks very much for your time on RNIB Connect Radio.
Oh no, thank you for having me. It's just great to be able to get the word out there amongst my fellow sight loss friends and colleagues and people that I've yet to meet.